Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The intro for the day gives us the phrase, rain down, or better, drop down, O heavens. And what better way to describe what has happened in Christ's appearing in the flesh? The Old Testament's lesson tells us that God promises to raise up a prophet. But if John the Baptist was more than a prophet, and John is not the Christ, as he confesses in the alternate reading for today, then Jesus must also be much more than just a mere prophet. He must be very God of very God, God in the flesh. Just as God promised he would bring into the world, all the way from Genesis chapter 3. He has been dropped down from heaven, as it were, and placed into the very womb of the Virgin Mary. And what a meek and humble way to begin his life in the flesh. Now, Mary, we don't know much about her. We know nothing of her parents. What we hear from her own mouth suggests that she was an orphan. She wasn't of the upper echelon of society by any stretch of any imagination. And here she is pregnant. And the story that she has to tell, who's going to believe her? Just think of the questions that would follow her and that child. It's not going to be an easy life. And yet, by God's grace and his mercy, people do believe her story. The angel Gabriel told her of her much older cousin Elizabeth also being pregnant, hence why she goes to visit. This had to come to quite a shock to her, as Elizabeth was called barren and well beyond any normal age of childbearing. But with God, all things are possible, and he was working to make ready the world for his gracious visitation, a visitation that would lead to the redemption of not only Israel, but all humanity. So Mary goes to the hill country in Judah, and there finds Elizabeth. Thanks be to God for faithful brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, for it is they who we should consider to be true family. And this is what our Lord declares. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his brothers, he said, or his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Mary found refuge and consolation there with Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah, who had not believed the words spoken to him concerning the babe in the womb of Elizabeth, could only listen as Mary told her story to Elizabeth upon her greeting. Elizabeth, by her son John, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke that blessing which we heard. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth trusted in the words that had been spoken to her husband, even when Zechariah had not. Miraculous events were taking place. A barren womb had been opened. It was returned to the Old Testament stories of saints long ago. This was Abraham and Sarah with Isaac. This was Hannah with Samuel. God was at work, and he was bringing to fruition that which he had promised. And Elizabeth, upon these words, then said a final blessing to Mary. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from her Lord. One has to think that she has said this within earshot of her mute husband, who failed to do these very things at first. But now it's beyond doubt that God was indeed visiting his people. And interesting enough, when God or John is born a little later, what does Zechariah do? He sings of the Lord's gracious visitation when turning his gaze to his own son, or before turning his gaze to his own son, and the work which John would continue to do. Because John's already started serving as the great prophet, doing the work that he was ordained to do, already even in the womb. Let this be of great comfort to us who have lost little ones in the womb. Those children have the same opportunity to hear the word of God, and we can take solace and have comfort in knowing that babes in the womb hear the word of God and are given faith in their Savior. We can and should also see that while John's miraculous work is amazing, the even more amazing thing is this, that Mary is only a few weeks along in her own pregnancy when she goes to visit Elizabeth. The Lord of all creation is mere a clump of cells. But even then, John, 6 months along, recognizes him and leaps for joy because God has come down to visit his people in humility and all love and all mercy. A most gracious visitation indeed. Jesus comes not in kingly might as one might expect from the Old Testament, the fire that came upon Mount Sinai when God visited Israel after bringing them up out of the land of Egypt. Yet even there, when the glory of the Lord was seen, it's veiled by the smoke of the fire. Then in later stories, the tabernacle was filled with smoke when the glory of the Lord descended into the Holy of Holies. The smoke is not the glory, but the veil, which kept the glory from being seen and thus killing the unclean people of Israel. This is the merciful work of God. The glory of God came into our midst and tabled among us in the flesh. And we will hear those words tomorrow in the festival of our Lord's incarnation from John's gospel. But even here in Luke's gospel, we have the outpouring of our Lord's gracious visitation and tabernacling among us. What has he come to do? He has come to save and to speak the truth of his Father into our very hearts, that we might be brought to proper repentance and true faith in him. His strength is not found in the war horse, but his strength is shown as he shows power over sin and death. He overcomes the sharpness of death for you and for me. He has come and scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He saw the poor and humble estate of his people who have been waiting on him to act. And he has not disappointed and will not disappoint. They are not going to be put to shame. His glory is not what one would expect, but his glory is best seen as he has filled the hungry with good things. His glory is best recounted when speaking of what he has done for his servant Israel, those who believe in him. He has come to die and redeem his people by the shedding of his own blood. His glory then is best understood in the context of him working in his great mercy to save poor, miserable sinners who see their plight and seek his compassion. This mercy is not for just Mary alone, but for those whom the Son of Mary came to save. He comes to save you. He has called you his very own by his very word, which is true. The mercy shown to Elizabeth and even hard-hearted Zechariah is for you. Do not be afraid, but trust the words that are spoken by this Son, which has come down from heaven like the rains of heaven. Be blessed by this Son, who has been raised up to be the true prophet, priest, and king who is truly God. For this is Jesus, the Christ, Emmanuel. He has come and he has visited you. And better yet, it is a visitation that does not end. He has placed his very name upon you, and so he goes with you wherever you go. You've been baptized into his very name, Emmanuel, God with us. And God is indeed with you. That's the beauty of the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord goes with you. And even that blessing looks forward to when God would be with us and will be with us forevermore. The Lord your God in the flesh still comes to you in the most humblest and gracious of ways. And we commemorate his humble birth this day and tomorrow. He comes to you through the preaching of his word, humble water, humble bread and wine. He has humbly arrived to be your Savior. He bears all your iniquity and guilt as well as your shame. He covers all your sins. Rejoice and glory in these works of your God, your Savior. Be sustained in these humble things which he now gives you. And so be prepared to enjoy the glorious return of your prophet, priest, and king. Let us now listen to his word, not our own, but joyfully confess him to be as he has shown himself to be, our Savior. Let us then with Mary magnify the Lord and sing our praises of him who has graciously visited his people and has showed strength to overcome sin and death by the power of his own blood. Let us always be filled with these good things which our Lord has deigned to give us. And let us praise him for his gracious visitation. For he has done glorious and great things for us in remembrance of his mercy. And he does not forget, nor will he. Let us trust in the word that he has spoken, that he will be with us and we will be with him forever and ever. The Lord has dropped down to save us and to visit us, his people. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to save you, O Israel. In the holy and precious name of our Savior Jesus, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.